In the portion of the Psi Basic Seminar you are about to hear, Dan Doerr is discussing concepts just presented in the I Am film. The focus of this presentation is the discovery and use of this powerful internal change mechanism, the I Am. Once again, relax, listen closely, be here now, and be open to solutions.
Talk about this concept. By the way, is he getting you to think at all? You like his stories? Is he getting you to react too? Good. You know, if we don't react in these seminars, guess what? It's the same old. If we hear more information that either fits into, oh, I believe that, or I agree with that. Remember going back to what he talked about in the three ways to listen? I can agree with that. I don't agree with that. If everything fits on those two sides of the scale, what possibility is there for us to really grow and develop anything? It's not to say that what he's saying is right or wrong or any of it, but it's to allow us to get to think that if we challenge where we are, one of the major things that Mr. Wilhite was talking on the film was complacency. How do we move past this thing of complacency and move into something more of who we want to be? We're never going to do that unless we challenge our thought processes. Challenge what's gotten us to where we are now, not saying that where we are is wrong or bad. Can we always have more? Sure we can. We can always have more. And what got us to where we are has succeeded. Whatever we've done to get us here is great. Now, where do we want to go from here? There's a difference between what's possible and what's probable. Some of you are familiar with a man named Robert Schuller. He's got a church in Southern California, the Crystal Cathedral. And he's got a phrase he talks about being possible. What's possible versus what's probable. And unless we find out what's keeping us stuck or keeping us where we are, those nine dots, what's the box that we placed around our possibility, until we can break out into a new realm, we'll be staying more into the probability versus what's possible. We begin to discover how to break out, to create this alignment. As Doug was talking back here, I began to look at this, and we talked about companies. He mentioned companies and individuals. But what about country? What about the world? I started looking at these little arrows as different countries. You know, here's the United States, and there's Russia, and there's one place, and there's all these different countries moving in all these different directions. But what's the possibility? Is all these countries operating uniquely within themselves, not having to change who they are, but they're moving in the same direction. What do you suppose the possibility is there? And that's what starts getting me excited. Begin to move beyond all this stuff over here. Move beyond those three R's that go beyond between one company, a country, and the next, and begin to line it up and move towards a common vision. And that starts getting me excited. World peace, one mind at a time, Cy World's dream. And I start getting a little excited about that. Doug will talk to you a little bit more about that. Talk to you a little bit more about that tomorrow. But that was just one of the thoughts that I had on here. What's possible versus what's probable? But we always got to bring it down to home, down to earth. And what can I do today to work with this concept that Mr. Wilhite was talking about? How can I begin to move ahead in my own life? Because if I can't produce results in my own life, how many other people are going to be willing to listen to me? Some people say, talk about money. I enjoy money. You know, I've had it and I've not had it. And I guarantee you, I enjoy more of it having it than not having it. But look at the other side too, even getting beyond some of those things. Look beyond what's possible versus someone who has a lot of it. What's the possibility of being able to create a lot more possibilities for other people? Or someone who's just out on the street looking for bags to make sure their life works from one minute to the next. What possibility do we have if we create a lot around ourselves? Abundance. Not only do we stand for what's possible for other people, but then we've got the possibility to go out and create possibilities for others. So I start getting excited about some of these things. I hope you heard some of the messages that Mr. Wohlhuis was talking about in the film. Doug gave the whole secret away right before it started. I hope you heard. The whole point of the film, right in his first few sentences, or the ending sentences before he introduced the film, that the film is a total composite of everything that we've done, that you've done so far in the seminar. Everything, all the points of the seminar, it's all been led up to that particular film in a way. And everything that he was talking about was the same thing in a different word, in a different phrasing. But to go from where we are, or to take where we are and to move towards where we want to go, what has to change? The first thing is to begin to discover where we are, to take a look more of where we are and to tell the truth with it, to take a real accounting, to find out where we are right now to see where we want to go. Because if we're not telling the truth, if we're lying to ourselves, for example, I know in the past I've said to myself, you know, I understand this stuff. I understand a lot of these principles. I just don't understand why all these negative people are around me. You know, I understand that what I put out comes back. I just don't know why I got all these people around me who can't produce any results. I understand all this stuff about how to make a company work and run. I just wonder why the bottom line isn't there. Oh, I understand it. All these great self-help books that Doug talked about a little earlier. All the great ideas. But what had I done to produce the results? Is I had to come to an accounting with myself just like everyone does. An accounting to ourselves to find out where we are and tell the truth to where we want to go. We don't have to make gigantic changes. It's the subtle, small things that can begin to make shifts. Was anyone afraid that what you'd have to do is be confronted with major change by coming to the seminar? Truthfully, anyone here? Yeah, like myself. And that was a part of what held me back. Oh, I like what I am. I don't want to change some of those things of who I am. And the truth is, you never have to. But to take accounting, to find out where it is that we are, to see where we want to go, it's not saying that what we've done is wrong to this point, but what do we have to do to get to second base? Now we're at first, great. Now what do we do to get to second? And we don't have to invalidate what we've done in the past that's got us to first. But what do we need to shift? Not necessarily anything major. Let's take an example or an analogy, a racehorse. We take a racehorse that's won one of the derbies. Let's say that this racehorse has won $1 million purse. And the second place horse won $10,000. So the difference is roughly 100 times. Not roughly, it is. So you've got one horse, then that's 100 times better than the other horse, right? He's worth 100 times more. He runs 100 times faster. Oh, he doesn't? He doesn't run 100 times fast. Well, how much faster does he run? Maybe only 100th times faster. Maybe only a nose. You see, it's not that we... Take somebody... Doug talked about Herbert Herida. The wealthiest real estate developer in the state of Hawaii. Do you think he puts on his pants one leg at a time, just like the rest of us? Does he have any more than 24 hours in his day? He's got the same amount of time. What's the difference between a Herbert Herida, who's run the race and won the $1 million purse, and someone who came in second at 10,000, or third at 1,000, and fourth at 30 bucks? The difference is a nose. Willing to take a few concepts and apply them to his life. The concepts of what Mr. Wohlhuis was talking about on this film. We'll only take a few concepts and he says, okay, I'll apply it. I'll take stock of where I am and begin to apply a few concepts and make a more positive direction so I can get to second and third and back home. A few simple concepts. Someone once made a statement that wherever we are in our life is directly a result of where we want it to be. Wherever we are in our life is directly a result of where we want it to be. Now, I hope that causes some people to react. Because some people already got great relationships. Some people in here do have great relationships. Other people are working on relationships. Other people have their finances or financial side pretty well together. And other people are working on that. But some people's got some things that they're struggling with. And I hope that someone says, what? I don't like that part of the concept. I'll accept it when it talks about all my great things. But what about those things I'm not too excited about in my life? Wherever I am is where I want to be. I'm not talking about an intellectual concept here. There's the same diagram, three levels of the mind that we've seen over and over and over again. Up here, we talk in the reason and logic area. We say, no, well, I don't want that. That's not what I'm really interested in, but I'm not talking about this level. I'm talking about something a little deeper. Because we've got the I am's up here that say one thing, fleeting thoughts at the conscious level. I want to have riches. I want to have fulfilling health. I want to have a business that supports me and an emotional life that's fulfilling and nurturing. I want to have a deeper relationship with my God and a relationship with other people. That's what we say here. But the reality sometimes is a little different. To think is to create, one of the most powerful concepts that we can begin to take a look at. To think is to create. Some people in here have heard the phrase that you are what you eat. I know if I took a toll or a poll, some of you would raise your hands. That who you are is what you eat. Here's another point of view. You're not what you eat, you are what you think. And we're not overweight because we eat too much. We eat too much because we have a program or a belief system that says that we're overweight. We don't have any money. Sometimes you'll hear people say, I don't have any money. It's not because we're not making enough. It's because we have a belief in lack or poverty or unworthiness. So we're talking about something a little deeper. We're talking about the I am's at this level. Not the I am's up here. We're talking about the I am's at the deeper level, which are the programs. You want to discover what your real programs are. Some people say, well, how can I determine what they are? I've got this idea Doug has been talking about programs, but how can I really discover what they are? Here's a way, a simple way to discover. Look to see what your results are in your life. Those are your programs. See, we can take it a little further, too. You want to take this concept out a little further? Look to see what the results are in your company. And those are the collective programs that you have as a company. Take a look to see what a country is like. Those are the collective programs that a country has. And take a look to see what a world situation is. And those are the collective programs. A belief in hunger. A belief in separation. Not a belief in the two islands and that at some level we are deeply interconnected. But a belief in separation and that you need to go this way, and if I'm going this way, that there's no possible way we can move in the same direction. And a belief that at the individual level, I don't count or I don't matter. It's a program. But how to bring it back down to reality again? How to bring it back down to our own life right here in this room? You see, we'll give you a technique on how to begin to work with this. But how many times do we put it off? How many times? We'll give you a technique that has produced results. But because of another program here called procrastination and putting it off, we'll wait, and we'll wait for later to handle it and put it off. And that's why we've got a program called Sci-5, an advanced seminar to begin to handle some of those things. What's the possibility of experiencing a deeper level of our own I am? Let me give you a concrete example. How many people run in here? Have run? Have ever run in the past? Have ever seen a runner? How many of you are aware of the concept, the second wind? Anyone here? Most everyone has at least heard of it. If you've not experienced it, at least you've heard of it. When you go out to run, when anyone goes out and runs, the first few days or weeks, you're working with just getting your body in condition and shape. So that's the first level that you're bumping up against, the first set of nine dots. But after that, we break into the next set, and it starts dealing with programs. And for those of you who look back that have run, look back in your life and begin to notice that when you're out there running a long race, it's not a matter of conditioning anymore, that the real fight and the battle is not with your body, but it's with your mind. This level of the mind says, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But at this point, the results have not shown it. And we hear this little program, this voice inside that says, no, you're not going to. It hurts. Why do it today? Put it off and do it tomorrow. And this level says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. This part says, no, you're not. It hurts. Your side's going to begin to ache any moment now. And up here, I'm going to do it. I'm going to push through. I don't care what it takes. And down here, it says, no, you're not. No, you're not. And all of a sudden, pow, it breaks through. And the inner level breaks through of our possibility. And we sprint to the goal because this one says, okay, you can have it. It's yours. And we sprint to the goal. And we begin to wonder where that other level of energy comes through. It's the reservoir that every person has. But it's not just in sports and athletics. It's also in businesses where our business constantly says, we're going to do it. We're going to focus in this direction. And all of a sudden, things line up. And we produce results that are far out, way beyond what we thought was possible before. And some of you have experienced that, I know. And once you've experienced working with a group of people that way, you see, what's this called? 1 + 1 = 3. Synergism. It's another way of talking about synergism. That when we work within ourselves and create a synergistic whole within ourselves or a company, all of a sudden we begin to realize that life isn't worth it somewhere else. And we start working to create that in our own business, our homes, within ourselves. Once you've had that taste of it, think what it'd be like to work in a company where everyone has the same point of view, working for that same goal. It's pretty exciting. Synergism. How many people here remember walking on a railroad track at one time in the past? When you're real young, you know, get out in the railroad track and see how far you can balance before you fall off. Here's a suggestion, a simple example of synergism. You have someone else that stands right across from you on the track next to you, parallel, and you reach out and just touch a hold of the tips of their fingers. And it creates a synergistic whole. The two of you will walk around the world together. Because 1 + 1 = far more and beyond our limited small possibilities. Not just with groups, but we got to start within ourselves. Have you ever noticed somebody looking for a helping hand in life? Waiting for a helping hand to come along? Here's a suggestion. Here's a technique. Whenever you're looking for a helping hand, just stick your hand out, look down at the end of your sleeve. There it is. But how many times in the past have I looked for somebody else? Oh, give me some help. Not saying that we've got to do it on our own, but not working at changing our inner consciousness, the I am at the inner level. Man is the center of a circle that has no circumference, yet we place limits on ourselves. The goals that we're looking for, that exist outside. Why do you suppose we have lotteries? Just think for a moment. Why do you suppose we have lotteries? Why do people go over to Reno and Vegas? So they can win, yeah, of course. So they can win for a buck and not have to change who they are. They can plug a dollar into the machine. Oh, I can be complacent. I don't have to change who I am at the inside. I don't have to change my inner core awareness of who I am. Nah, I'll just place a dollar. I'll buy one of those instant winners. And once I win that big bag of money, I'll be set. And listen to the interviews of people who won it. And that's what they tell you. Oh, I'm set for life. Some of you will remember the $64,000 question. It was the granddaddy of all game shows. The first one back in the 50s and early 60s. And they had the little booth and the lights and the headphones and the music and the whole thing. And if you won the money, answer the last question, you won the money, $64,000, which is worth $250,000 in today's dollars. Guess how many people made a difference in their life with $64,000? One. Dr. Joyce Brothers. The only person who made a difference in her life as a result of winning that money, Dr. Joyce Brothers. The rest of them blew it. 18 months average, Winnebagoes, trips to Vegas, huge parties. And I'm not saying that those are bad. Take vacations. You win some money. If I win some money, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on a vacation. But it's not, it's like they didn't know where to quit because they didn't have a program consistent with this new level. Their program was down here, and they tried to reach out and grab it and pull it in. And so what happens? They blew it. And we've seen people with relationships. You've heard people say it. Oh, how were they so lucky? They had that relationship sort of dumped in their lap. And then 6 to 9 months later, or 18 months, they blew it. And it's the same with jobs. See somebody come up and put in a position, a new position, and all of a sudden, they blow it too. Their program is not consistent with the new level. Because what happens when you get out to the edge here? It gets uncomfortable. It is. It gets uncomfortable out here because we're stretching out at the end of the limb going for something we've never worked with before. And it gets a little uncomfortable. And what's the average American's point of view when something gets uncomfortable? To quit, pull back, and not stretch out there. And take a look at a lot of folks in old folks' homes. You see, it's not about getting older and living longer. How about having a little more quality in it? The old folks' homes are full of a lot of people whose circles are about that big around, who constantly kept looking at for the comfort, and their circles kept going smaller and smaller and smaller. Because it's been said a number of times, there's only one way to coast. Downhill, right. You can't coast uphill. Our momentum will only carry us so far. And all of a sudden, we start to coast right back on down. But what's the difference? What's possible? Mother Teresa was just in town here in the South Bay in the last couple of days. She's one of my heroines. One of the people that I hold up as an example for myself is what's possible. 75. Do you think that she wakes up in the morning with any fewer aches and pains as any other 75-year-old person? No, she doesn't. She says, well, I had an extra day, so I filled it in and stopped by and gave a talk. That was an extra day. When I heard that, I was, phew, that's incredible. And Doug was talking about a little bit earlier. She says, what we do is minuscule, it's small, it hardly is a drop in the bucket compared to what's necessary and what's needed. But she said, if we don't do that, what would the bucket be like without that drop? One drop less. People know about priming pumps here. A few. You ever primed a pump? You can work and work and work and work on that pump, but what begins to happen? Unless you pour a little bit in, what happens? Not much comes out. But you work and you work and you work and you pour a little bit in, and it sort of gets it going. And then all of a sudden, what happens? All of a sudden, it just starts gushing out. And then you don't have to work so hard. What you do is you just put a nice little easy stroke on the wheel or on the handle, and it keeps the whole thing flowing. But how many times have you heard people say, well, I've been working on this, I've been working on it, it hasn't produced results so far, so I think I'll do what? Quit, give up. And if you stop pumping the pump, the water may be an inch away, but what it'll do if you stop pumping the pump? It'll go all the way back down, all the way back down. And you got to start all over again. Start the process all over again. Take a look. Everyone has the keys to success right inside. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. So how can we use this as a concept? First of all, pick out two goals that you'd like to get closer to. Pick out two of them right now. And then write down an affirmation for each of the goals, stating it in the now as if you already have it. Maybe it's something that you want to become, an inner quality that you want to develop. Maybe it's something physical, a tangible thing. Perhaps it's an area of business or relationships or whatever it may be, and it doesn't matter. But create a positive, affirmative statement saying, stating that what it is that you own it, you have it, you are it right now. A short statement, not a long dissertation. I love my body at, and you fill in the weight. I'm thrilled with my new, and you put in the position that you're going for. My relationship with whoever you may be is nurturing and fulfilling. Create a positive, affirmative statement, stating it in the now. Very short, concise statement because you want to memorize it. That's the first half of the exercise, the cycle. The second half is an opportunity to allow you to become more of a master of your own life on a day-to-day basis. To master your possibilities. And what it starts out with, it's a very simple three-step process. First, in the morning when you get up, when you arise, the first thing in the morning is you go to your levels and you run on your screen a film of what you want to have, what you would like to accomplish for that particular day. Seeing how you're going to get to your goal, one little step at a time. What do you want to be doing in this day? And you create it as a movie on the screen of your mind. And then you go out and work at creating it to the best degree that you can, like you focused it on the film. And then at the end of the day, the third step, and very important, is that you review the film again, and you see exactly what you did, and then you run a quick clip at the end showing of what you want to be, what you want to do the next day. And why is that important? For the most part, we spend 8 hours asleep, 6 to 8 hours, doesn't matter, whatever your time is. But we don't focus or direct our mind at that time. This is an opportunity to give us a positive direction right before you go to sleep. So your subconscious level has got, it's got a charge. It says, okay, this is what I got to do tonight to begin to create it for tomorrow. And the more you focus on it, the more that what you run on your mind begins to be created, what you're doing out in life. But you got to start it when? Now, as in tonight. You don't wait till Monday morning.